Well, if you would, turn to Jeremiah chapter 51, the very end of the chapter. These gentlemen are walking down the aisle with Bibles in hand, that you might have a Bible to study with us, so don't hesitate to raise your hand if you need a Bible, and I'll pass one over to you that you might study along with us. And if you're just borrowing it, feel free to drop it off on the way out. But if you need it, please take it, keep it. There's no charge, of course. Or maybe you know someone that needs one. Again, no charge, take it and pass it on to them. Now, we are studying our way through the book of Jeremiah, have been there for a while. Lord willing, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap up our study in Jeremiah tonight, so we encourage you to come out and be a part of that at 6 o'clock tonight here in the sanctuary. But this morning, we're going to look at a couple of points here in Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah 51, that last verse, if you would. Now, I'm going to do something a little different. Are you at Jeremiah 51, the last verse? Then put your hand right there, or tuck your bulletin in it, because you're going to wind up there in just a minute. So I want to make sure you have that. But having said that, now turn to the left to the first chapter also. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. So you're going to be, in a sense, your Bible is going to be open to Jeremiah 1 and 51 at the same time. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1 also. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." So here we have that first call upon Jeremiah, God's call to the prophet Jeremiah. Now, turn to chapter 51, that first chapter I had you turn to, the last verse. And we're just going to read the last sentence in that verse, where it says, "Thus far are the words of Jeremiah." Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. With that statement, we read the end of the ministry of this one known as the weeping prophet. Chapter 52 in Jeremiah is a recounting of the fall of Jerusalem by an unknown author. If you visit a cemetery, and I'm sure most of us one time or another have had the occasion to be at a cemetery, and if you've looked at the gravestones or the headstones in the cemetery, typically there are two dates on those gravestones, of course. There is that date of birth of that person that the gravestone is marking, that date they began their life's journey. And then there's another date, the date in which they died, the date when, if they were a believer, the date they went home to be with the Lord. So on the typical gravestone, there is a date of the beginning of that life and a date of the end of that life. And then, of course, between those two is that little dash. The dash between the two dates. Although it might be small in comparison to the rest of the markings on that gravestone, interesting enough, of course, is that dash represents all that took place between there. The life that was lived between the beginning and the end of the earthly journey of that life. And it's what between those two dates that life is all about in our journey. So, what is the story of Jeremiah's life and ministry between chapter 1, that chapter which talks about how God knew him from the womb? He placed a call upon Jeremiah from the very get-go. Well, from chapter 1 to chapter 51, what's the story of the life and ministry of Jeremiah? I have a question for you this morning, believer of Jesus, follower of Jesus, servant of Jesus. I have a question for you. How are you doing in your life's journey as you seek to serve the Lord? How's that dash going in your life? Have you become weary? If truth be told, are you flat out burnt out in trying to serve the Lord? Are you wondering if it's worth it? You ask yourself, why should I even continue on? There doesn't seem to be any fruit. Who notices? Who cares? Does it really matter what I do for the Lord? This morning, I believe that Jeremiah has a message and a challenge and an exhortation for all of us. I've called our time together this morning. Keep your hands on the plow. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the fact that you love us. Father, that in your love, you sent your Son to die for us. You made known not only our need, but your answer to that need. And through your mercy and grace, and only through mercy and grace, by faith in what you've done, do we sit here forgiven. And thank you, Lord, that we don't go on the shelf at that point, but you've got callings. You've got things you want to do in us and through us. Thank you, Lord, that you give purpose, real purpose and meaning to our lives. Lord, as we sit here before you this morning, help us to hear you. Give us hearts hungry to encounter you. And then help us, Lord, to not just be hearers, but to be doers. Lord, make us vessels. Vessels of that work you're doing, that others might also experience your work. Lord, we're saying, take your word now and drive it deep into our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We cast our cares on you. We pray you lift off any distractions. And we're saying, Lord, speak, we pray now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do we learn from Jeremiah's ministry and his life? Well, I've put together some thoughts this morning. I've kind of titled it under the overhead here of Jeremiah. In a moment, we're going to list some points about what we learned from the life and ministry of Jeremiah. May I say that my goal isn't to make this an all-inclusive list. If we were to begin to list everything we could learn from Jeremiah's ministry and life, we'd be here quite a long time. But rather, we're just going to consider some points that are on my heart, and I trust to be on your heart, and you can just kind of let the Lord speak to you about. Well, the first thing I want us to draw attention to in Jeremiah's life and his ministry is this, that Jeremiah didn't quit. He had many occasions and opportunity where he might have. His was a rough, unpopular ministry. But notice, though he might have got discouraged, he'd settled the issue. He wasn't going to quit. Now again, that wasn't that he sometimes didn't feel like it. At one point, Jeremiah was saying he basically felt like turning in his resignation papers. You might remember it. Back in chapter 20, the beginning there, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah had come into so much ridicule and derision and all that he goes, you know, I'm just going to quit talking for the Lord. I'm not going to mention his name anymore. I'm not going to speak about his word. And he got to that point where he's just this close to turning in his resignation to the whole thing. But Jeremiah learned something. That once you truly have been touched by God's love, once you really have been called of him, once you recognize just how awesome he is and the love he has, and once that's in you, when you try to hold back, you're miserable. Because you notice I put 20, verse 9a, because the verse goes on to say, second part of the verse, where Jeremiah says, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. God, you touched me. You've changed me. It's a love that just I hungered for, and I finally found it. How am I going to keep it back? Quitting wasn't an option. You don't quit when you're serving the Lord. And he recognized that. He said, your word was like a burning fire. The two that were walking on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus shared with them afterwards, they said, wasn't his words when he spoke to us, wasn't like a fire. Oh, for burning hearts. Oh, for servants with fire in their belly and fire in their heart. And if you're in touch with it all, with what God's done, he'll give it to you. And he said, I couldn't hold back. So what am I saying? Jeremiah taught us that you don't quit. Quitting is not an option in following and serving the Lord. Well, the second thing we learn, not only do we don't quit, Jeremiah was a prophet of the heart. Jeremiah spoke from the heart, and he spoke to the heart of the people that he was called to. Jeremiah challenged the people, those that he loved so much and the Lord loved so much, of course. He challenged them. He said, you know, you guys got the outer parts of religion. They went through a sort of outer revival at one point. But their heart was far from God. There wasn't an inner work. And there's a long section there in Jeremiah 7. I've just chosen one verse to kind of highlight it. But he speaks to them about that fact. He says, do not trust in these lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. It's part of a section in which basically they were going to church on Sunday, you know, for them Saturday. They were going to church, looking good, but the rest of the week they were into idols, into horrible stuff, all about themselves. They just kind of had the Lord mixed into a kind of smorgasbord in their lives. And he said, don't be deceived. Don't think you just have this outward show of it and think that it's real. It's got to be of the heart or it's nothing. It's not about religion and ritual and routine. It's of the heart. And so he had a heart for the people and he aimed at their heart. That shouldn't surprise us because he was speaking for God. And God's heart was breaking over what the people had gotten themselves into. For so long they'd been in rebellion, so long they'd gone their own way, got into evil, wicked practices, and they were sowing these seeds that were going to eventually cause their destruction and all. And so since God's heart was breaking over his people, since God had a heart for people, he chose someone who'd reflect God's heart. And so may it be with you. You have on your heart a relative, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker. Someone that, you find they're on your heart often. You wish you could somehow help them know about God's love. Not the formalities and all the junk that you hear about and the abuses that have been done in God's name and all, but a real relationship. And it's on your heart that they would have that. That didn't get there by accident. That's God's heart now working in your heart and giving your burden for their heart. Remember, heart in the Bible is not the muscle that pumps blood around. Heart in the Bible means the core you, the real you, the you that lives inside this tent. And that's always God's turf, and that's always God's focus. He looks past all this outside stuff, and he looks on the heart, the real you. And because you belong to him, believer, he places in your heart that same desire for people, the one inside there. And so you have that desire. You want to share with them somehow. But at the same time, you're so very aware of your shortcomings. Because you're aware that you don't know your Bible like maybe you wish you did. You're afraid they're going to bring something up that you may not have the perfect answer to. So you struggle. But know this. God isn't calling theologians. He doesn't want a theologian. He wants you. And he's not aiming for people's heads. He's aiming for their heart. And so the work he does in your heart, he just says, now would you pass that on? And of course you go, but Lord, I don't have this quality and that quality. God says, I'm not looking for abilities. I'm looking for availability. Make sure you hear that. He's looking for availability. Jeremiah was a guy that's... His heart was breaking for the people. And God said, that's exactly me in you and what I want to express through you. Remember, it's been said many times, but it's so true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And a timely word from you, just a word or two, maybe just one word spoken from your heart can break through the hardest heart. Whereas an hour worth of theological discussion might impact the head, but doesn't even come near to touching the heart. Jeremiah spoke from the heart because he was simply speaking God's heart. It shouldn't surprise us God works that way. God always cares about the heart, the real person. So it's the same for you, believer. Always deal with the heart. First of all, your heart relationship with him. And then aim for the heart of others. Don't get sucked off into dancing around how many angels can dance on the head of a pin or something. Don't get in those theological debates with people because you know down deep they're hurting and they're empty. You know because you were there once. And you know because God says that's the case. And so speak to that part. Don't disqualify yourself because you don't have the theological discussion. It's about that heart and Him working through your heart. What I'm saying is, don't settle for anything less than a real heart relationship with God. Don't settle for surface relationship with God. And don't settle for surface serving of God. Don't just serve God when it's convenient, when it looks like it's going to go really well. Be open to being used whenever God might want to use you. And just come from the heart of what God has worked in you. Well, what else do we learn as we need to move along here? Jeremiah didn't quit. He was a prophet of the heart. Another thing about Jeremiah was he knew the importance of God's word. He knew that that's what people really need. When you share with people, when you want to share truth and hope and light with them, bring God's word to bear into it. But now hear me carefully. Too many people think that that means you bash people with this. Too many people think that, oh, I take my Bible and I work them over. You just beat them up with it. I mean, how many times have you heard, and it's sad, I hear people, they'll take the Bible and they'll beat people up with it, they'll bash them with it, and they walk away going, oh, I sure told them, boy, let a heavy witness on them, told them God's truth and everything. And meanwhile, the person's all beat up and bloodied, and that's not the idea. When you have a wound, and you get out the ointment, that tube of ointment, do you take that tube of ointment and begin to whack the wound? No. You squeeze out the healing ointment and apply it with love. This is God's tube of healing ointment. Squeeze it out and apply it with love. Don't beat people with it. Apply it with love, but make sure you do apply it. It's God's word that people need. That's what Jeremiah came to understand, the importance that he needed to hear God's word. See, there were a lot of false prophets in his day, telling people what they wanted to hear. Oh, you don't need to repent. You don't need to turn around. You can keep going after those idols. You can be in those lewd practices. You can make a show of religion, and that's all God needs. And on they would go. But people don't need opinion. People don't need just what they want to hear. They need God's word. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, not just when it's convenient. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come, speaking about our day today, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, you might read that, and true, you may not be called to be an evangelist, but that very last statement you are called to, where it says, fulfill your ministry. That does apply to each one of us. For every person in the body of Christ has a ministry, has a calling. You have your place. Paul used that example. He said we're like a body, a human body. And we all, like a body has all its parts, we all have a part in the body, he said. And everyone's needed. Everyone has a calling. No, you may not preach over at Qualcomm to thousands of people. You may not be up here in the pulpit, but you have your place in this whole thing. And you are needed in it. Fulfill your ministry, he says. And he's saying, and as you do, what do you begin with, Timothy? Make sure it's about the word. People need the word. People don't need jokes and funny stories. And oh, they have their place sometimes to maybe drive home the point of the message. But at 3 a.m, when you're hurting, when you're in the hospital, standing over the bed of that child or whatever it might be, you don't want a joke. You don't want some cute story. You want to know, what about God? What does he say about this? And can I stand on him and trust him? What does he say? People need God's word. the truth of God's word. And so that's what we need to remember, the importance of God's word. You see, this doesn't apply to just prophets and pastors. Each of us has a ministry. We're called to fulfill it. And we've got to include God's word in that. What else do we learn from Jeremiah's life and ministry? Well, we learned you don't quit. He's a prophet of the heart, always just about the heart. It's always about God's word. And we learned about Jeremiah that he was conscious of his shortcomings, very conscious of his shortcomings. You remember way back in chapter 1, as we read God's calling upon Jeremiah. What did Jeremiah said? Here, I'll place it up here again. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. He was so conscious of that which was in his life. I'm too young, I can't speak well, and maybe you're very conscious of your shortcomings. And quick to trot out why God can't use you. But what did God say to him? Remember? Whoops, excuse me, not yet. What did God say to him? He said, don't say you're too young. I will give you what to say. And then it says, and God touched his mouth and began to use him. Again, it's not about abilities. It's about availability. If you ever feel like you have all this inherent great stuff, if you're someone who says, okay, God, I can see why you wanted me, you got a good deal. If you stand there and say, God, thanks for calling me. Step out of the way now, because you know, Lord, I do have that gift of speaking. And you know, Lord, I'm pretty sharp up here. And I have this and I have that. And you start trotting all that out. Well, let me warn you, pride goes before a fall. And I dare say those things are probably in the way of God working. Yesterday, Kathy had the privilege of speaking over at the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry Conference over at Horizon. And just earlier today, we were at the door and somebody asked Kathy if she was nervous, if she ever gets nervous when she spoke. And I heard Kathy respond the same thing that anybody who's ever been up here will tell you, hopefully. She said, the day I'm not nervous, the day to worry. And that's always the case. I remember when I was still a young guy starting out at this, and I was getting ready to walk out front with another pastor, and I said to him, I said, you ever don't get nervous? And he said that same thing. He goes, hey, if you ever think you got it licked, if you ever think, oh, okay, I'm ready to go, I'm here I go, Lord, be careful. He said, again, he said, if you're ever not nervous, the day to worry. I am very aware that if God doesn't do this, I'm fried. I'm very conscious of my shortcomings. But it's not about me, and it's not about you, and not about what we have and don't have. It's about Him. It's about what we find in Him. He's only looking for vessels, but He is looking for them. No one is adequate to serve the Lord. Jeremiah wasn't, I'm not, you're not. But that's not the question. Paul confirmed that, 2 Corinthians 2:16. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life, leading to life. Talking about how people receive the gospel and all. And he says, and who is sufficient for these things? If you ever stop forward to serve the Lord, hopefully you'll real quick echo that with Paul. I came back from that first time I was ever sent out to have the privilege of overseeing a funeral. And I was just a young, well, I don't know if I can say young, but I was assistant pastor just starting out. But I went and did that first funeral, and I was just so in awe that people would let me be part of their family as they went through this time of grieving, and that God would allow me to maybe share some things from His Word to give comfort and all. And I was just so blown away. And I walked back, and my mentor happened to be walking across the parking lot, and he saw me get out of the car, and he said, hey, how'd it go? And I remember, I said, who's sufficient for these things? And he began to speak to me and minister to me. He was a real mentor in the Lord. Who is sufficient? Well, Paul answers his own question. Next chapter, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Settle the issue. Jeremiah had to learn it. We all have to learn it. Our sufficiency is from God. It's not about what we bring to the table. It's what we find in Him. Well, what else do we learn through Jeremiah's life and ministry? Well, besides these four things, let's add to the list. Jeremiah learned of God's faithfulness. That God told Jeremiah that He would do this work in and through Jeremiah. And God did it. Remember again, back at the beginning? But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. For you shall go, he said. You shall speak. Don't be afraid. I am with you to deliver you. And as we look back on Jeremiah's life, we see that God was faithful to every promise that he gave Jeremiah. Same for you, servant of Jesus. He doesn't call you and then say, hope you make it. He doesn't call you and say, well, go in your own power and own strength, and I'll see at the end of life, and you let me know how it went. There's a calling, but not one that we go on our own or in our own power. Listen to what Jesus says as he gave the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I will be with you always, he says. Our part, that little two-letter word, go. His part, I'm right there with you. As 1 Thessalonians 5:24, if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, you should mark it sometime and memorize it and call upon it, or at least know about it, know where to get to it. He who calls you is faithful. Remember, this point that we're making right now is Jeremiah learned of the faithfulness of God. You learn about that faithfulness as you step out. It's only a theory until you step out. But as you step out, you discover. Paul discovered it. Jeremiah discovered it. We need to discover it. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He calls you to it. He enables you to do it. He will do it. He's only looking for you to be available, to be a vessel. Well, what's the next point? Last one for this morning. Through Jeremiah, it teaches us the importance of faithfulness on our part. See, the important thing as we serve the Lord isn't numbers or popularity. It isn't success in terms of this world standards. The important thing is faithfulness to the calling. Paul exhorts us, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found popular. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found successful, famous, rich. No. Moreover, it is required in stewards what? That you be found faithful. Be encouraged. What you do matters. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you feel like it's an unseen ministry? Do you feel like, you know, nobody knows, what's it matter? It's never in vain. You're called to be a parent. You're called to be a husband or wife. You're called to be a whatever it might be. And, of course, those specific callings to share and to minister, to help, to pray, whatever those various callings we might have on our life. And yes, it may not be something that anybody in the world ever knows about, but he says, don't be discouraged. Hang in there, he says, knowing that it's never in vain. When God's authoring it, when God's in it, when God's behind it, when it's motivated by his love, it's never in vain. Was Jeremiah's ministry a success? Well, let's think about it a minute. Let's see. Was his ministry a success? He was rejected by his people. He was mocked, hated, beaten, imprisoned, put in stocks, charged with being a traitor. Now, there's a ministry you want to go follow, right? Oh, let's go to that guy's church. Well, what's he like? Oh, people mock him, hate him. They beat him up, put him in prison. Nobody follows him. Oh, yeah, let's all go over there. No. See, but that's not God's standards. That's the world standards. We start thinking that it's about popularity or success in that way. He had no success. Jeremiah had no success really in terms of response from his listeners. He ministered for 40 plus years and never really had, and nobody really ever jumped on board. He had no real success as the world would count it. But that isn't what God measures by. Our desire as we serve the Lord should be to hear what Jesus declares. Matthew 25:23. Remember, he told that awesome parable. And he reached, in each point in there, he talks about a reward for those who are faithful. His Lord said to him, Jesus teaches us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't say good and famous servant, good and popular servant. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. It isn't numbers. It's not the size of the budget or the size of the church. It's not how big your particular ministry or place of calling is. It's not whether everybody knows about it or not. It's faithfulness. It's doing what you're called to do. And hear this. It's not the response of others. It's your response to Him. That's what He's looking for. That's what faithfulness is about. Your response to Him. The Lord, let's say the Lord calls you to take a cup of water to a thirsty person. And you say, "Thank you, God, for this privilege. And thank you that you'd entrust me with this. And I want to do it for you, Lord." And so you take your cup of water to this person. And let's say you get to them and they knock it out of your hand. "I don't want that. And get away from me. And I don't want to hear about it." Well, you might be tempted to go, "Oh, no, no. You've got to drink the water. No, please, you've got to receive the water. If I'm going to hear 'well done,' you've got to drink the water." That's not true. Were you faithful to what He called you to do? Yes. Did you take the water to the person? Yes. Then there's a well done for you. It's like this morning, I share God's word. I'm not responsible for your response to it. I'm responsible to teach it as God gives it to me. I'm responsible to be faithful to Him and His word, and then it's up to you. But whether that person drinks the water and is satisfied or knocks it away, the reward's the same. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if I won't pick the water up, if I say later at a convenient time, Lord, maybe when it works out for me, or when I like how they look, that person's kind of smelly, Lord. They're kind of dirty. I don't want. Oh, this person, I'll take water to them. Although I got something I got to do, Lord. How about tomorrow? See, that's about me then, and that's not a faithful servant. But if I'll just bear that water, or call that person, or reach out, or whatever it is, I'm not accountable. I can't. Determine the response, and I'm not called to. It's faithfulness, thou good and faithful servant. What is it to be faithful? It doesn't say, well done, good and perfect servant. If to hear well done, I have to be perfect, I'm in big trouble. And so are you. But it does say faithful. What is faithful then? It's not perfect. Faithful, I'm going to put in a couple of just my own definitions here. Someone who's faithful is someone who stays at it. They don't quit. They stay at it. There's someone who's available in God's timing and God's ways and all, and in season and out. They're faithful about it. They settle the issue. The Lord, when you say it, here I am. Let's go for it. To be faithful is to not compromise. If you're faithful, you don't compromise. To be faithful is to be true to Jesus. It's to be full of faith. It's to trust Him and say, "Lord, you've called. You said you're going to equip me. Here I go." It's keeping your hands to the plow. And in all of this, what's our goal? What should this be all about? 1 Corinthians 10:31 sums it up pretty good. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." See, that's why you do it. That's why you do it. That everything we do would point to Him, because He's worthy and He's so awesome and He's touched our lives and He loves us and changed us. do all to the glory of God. So, to sum up what's on my heart this morning, I want to quote two verses. Both of these verses are spoken by Jesus. They kind of sum up what's on my heart. The first one occurs in Matthew 5:16. We just talked about it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your motive always be to draw attention to Him and glorify Him and let people know how good He is. And the second part of that, though, Matthew 9:62, where Jesus says, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, Pastor. We're doing okay until that, Pastor. Why do you have to, you know, why do we have to go there? Jesus said it, and it's so true. You don't quit. You keep going. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I have been told, I have not practiced this, I have not actually plowed a field like this, but I've read that those who, especially in those days, who would go behind the horse or the oxen or whatever, and they would plow the field, I've heard that the way they get those furrows so straight is they pick an object, a landmark out of the distance, and they set for that tree or whatever, and they just keep on track, and they just head straight for that. If they start plowing and start looking all around, start talking and looking all around, you get one of these things. But instead, they keep their eyes on a goal. They keep their hands on the plow, and they watch the goal, not so much the task, but the goal. Believer, you're called to a task. You're called to keep your hands on the plow with your goal, your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're running for Him. For that high calling He's called us to. And He said, as you do that, keep your hands on the plow. Don't be looking back. Don't be letting go. Don't say, well, I'm not up to it. Maybe tomorrow. And it just lays there. He who does that, he says, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Don't take your hands off the plow. So, I end with these points. First of all, do all to the glory of God. Let Him be your motive. Recognize we have nothing good in itself, in ourselves. It's all a gift from Him anyway. You're just passing it on, thereby giving Him glory when you acknowledge that and do that. And secondly, find and keep God's call for your life. And you have one if you're in the body of Christ. And believer, don't take your hands off the plow. You've been struggling. You feel unnoticed. Who cares? Is it making any difference? Nothing is in vain. And yes, it is making a difference. And sometimes those unseen things are the foundational things. And you're impacting lives and changing. And you don't know. You may not know this whole life. But it's going on. Don't take your hands off the plow. And if you don't, one day, and maybe very soon, you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. See, that's what was between those years for Jeremiah. He was a faithful servant. And I pray that it be the same for each of us. Let's stand. Worship team's coming up. There'll be prayer partners available by the prayer room if you like prayer today. Maybe something spoke to you or you're going through something this week or whatever you'd like prayer for. But let me ask you something. As we're gathering up our Bibles and zipping them up and you're grabbing your jackets and purses and all, the response is up to you. But there's an awesome calling and a great privilege and really neat thing to serve the Lord, just to be available to God. Each of us has a place He wants to use us. I encourage you. Find it and walk in it. Be faithful to it. Jeremiah hung in there. He was faithful to it for all those years in the face of all he went through. And so it glorified God, and he got to hear, well done. I just pray that'd be your desire. If it is, he'll use you. But keep your hands on the plow. Don't give up. Soon, and maybe very soon, you'll be home. And we'll hear, well done. Father, that's our heart's desire, that you would get the glory. Because you, it's all about you. You've touched us. You've changed us. It's your love. It's your love that's done all this. And we want everything to point to you. So, Father, give us those burning hearts. Help us to just abide in you and be all about you, Lord. And then, Lord, make us vessels. Use us where we are. Show us, Lord, well, you're faithful. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be those who go out now and are doers and not just hearers. Lord, I pray for each of us. Help us, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, just keep our hands to the plow. And may it all just give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.